January 3rd, 1849. In 1850, he traveled to Fredericksburg, Texas, to begin his ministry. He was influenced by the German community of Mason County, where in 1852, he started preaching in Castell. In 1853, he added Lower Creek, Lower Willow Creek. In 1856, he added Upper Willow Creek, which is, you know, his heart, and Beaver Creek, which is now Hilda, to his preaching circuit. 1858, there was a committed group of Methodists in Mason that was meeting in homes and under trees for Bible study and prayer. At that time, Mason was a tiny village that existed under the shadow of Fort Mason. From 1866 to 1873, there were no English-speaking Methodist pastors in the area. The Civil War and Reconstruction had left little leadership all over the state of Texas. However, the Methodists remained faithful. From the diary of a Methodist by the name of Lucia Holmes, there are some details of the community of Methodists that existed at the time. Lucia Holmes was the organist. She had an organ in her home that they gathered around and practiced hymns for that Sunday. And fellow church members would load up that organ on a cart and take it to wherever they were worshiping so that Lucia Holmes could play the organ for worship. I doubt that you could imagine such an experience as that. Loading up the organ every time there was worship and to take it home that same day. There were weeks, however, where there were no worship services because of the factions and armed conflicts known as the Hoodoo War. Many men were killed, and there were many casualties. People report that it seemed as if the whole world had gone crazy. Until the Methodists began to fill up the church and Sunday school, seeking God's guidance. The church at that time had its controversies. Grab a hold of your seats. This is what they were. The controversies had to do with issues related to the Civil War. Also had to do with open and closed communion. Open communion is what we practice, by the way. If a person comes and visits us in church on Communion Sunday, they are invited to receive the Holy Sacrament. We do not deny the Holy Sacrament to anyone. Also, a controversial issue at the time was sprinkling baptism versus immersion baptism. Just want to let you know the Methodists practice both. Amidst the hardship, the faithful still showed up for church to worship, pray, study, and love one another. In August of 1876, what month did I say? August 1876, there was preaching, prayer meetings, and sleeping on the ground until the next morning. What month? August. Sleeping outside. People were a lot tougher then. Amen? Records indicate that a brother Worrell was the preacher. On September the 1st, 1876, camp meetings were held on the Llano River. By October the 5th, the Methodists were coming to life and were starting to organize. Brother Peterson preached the morning service in English, and Brother Hartz preached the evening service in German. December the 10th, 1876, the congregation laid the cornerstone for the Methodist Church building, and the deed of the property was executed in May of 1877. On the cornerstone was written a note in English and German, quoting the scripture, "Upon this stone I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And they really meant it for this reason. 1870s and 1880s were still the frontier out here, and times were hard. Our very own Scott Zesch, Mason, Texas, wrote this book, Captured, about the true story of abduction by Indians on the Texas frontier. It was about a 10-year-old boy by the name of Adolph Korn, Korn spelled with a K, who was kidnapped by the Comanche Indians and was raised as one. Adolph Korn grew up to be a fierce Comanche warrior. At that time, there was a pastor by the name of Andrew Jackson Potter. Andrew Jackson Potter fought in the Civil War in Missouri. And in Missouri, during the Civil War, it was truly a hell on earth. Andrew Jackson contracted cholera and requested a Bible to read because he thought he was going to die. Upon reading the scriptures and giving his life over to Jesus, he survived the cholera and became a Methodist pastor and was appointed here at the Central Methodist Church, which it was known at the time. Andrew Jackson Potter was known as the Fighting Parson because of the roughness of the area at the time, and also because he went out to the frontier taking the gospel to harsh places and people. Once he invited a powerful, convicted black preacher to preach at the church. The preacher was so overwhelmed by bad behavior of hecklers that Potter went out to the congregation and knocked them out cold, allowing the preacher to continue. I don't think they remember the sermon from then on. There were two Methodist churches at the time, the Methodist Episcopal Church North and the Methodist Episcopal Church South. And the Methodist Episcopal Church South is the white old church over here on the corner of Spring. Those two churches of the North and the South were combined on October the 26th, 1889. Plans for the new church building were made, and on June the 9th, 1892, plans were made for the purchase of an additional property. On the deed of that property are these names: Henry Hirschberg, Henry Lifesty, Christian Loeffler, Conrad Klinicki, and Conrad Simon. Any familiar names there? Then there were these names: Frank, Jim, and John Brandenburger. At the early service, I asked Mr. Brandenburger if he remembered the names of Jim, Frank, and John. He said, yes, those were my grandfather's brothers. Those men, Jim, Frank, and John, hauled the lumber to the location where they all began to build the sanctuary. Finally, on September the 11th, 1895, the leaders of the church found the right piece of property for their new church, where we are now. But it's not in this particular location. The first church that was built is where the playground is presently. They paid $300 for that piece of property. Fascinating stuff. Now I'd like to read for you some selections of this particular book called Memories. Three selections, to be exact. The first comes from our very own, and we all know, Harold Hirster. Harold Hirster writes these words: the first time Mother took me to Sunday school was a scary experience. Amen. And I made my voice heard all the way down the hall and out the north and east doors of the two-story building. I cannot imagine Harold Hirster yelling at the top of his lungs. Such a gentle soul. But we were all children once, right? Mother must have felt sorry for her little angel since she stayed out in the hall for the first couple of Sundays. My wonderful teacher, Mrs. Gilbert Hildegard Schultze, rapidly started trying to civilize me. She being a country lady herself, herself did her best to make me feel at home in her class. Reminiscing with Mrs. Schulze several years ago about being gone from this area for 40 years, I thanked her for being my Sunday school teacher several times while growing up. She said, "Yes, I remember you two little boys. You were both scared little country boys and reminded me of two little wild goat kids." Thank you, Harold. The next comes from Rob Hoffman. In the fall of 1982, my family decided that I could attend Methodist Sunday school with my friends instead of spending another year as the only child at our little First Christian church. So began my life as a Methodist. What a blessing it has been for me. Delvin and Nancy Bauer, Tommy and Joyce Durst, Lee and Bobby McMillan, and Winfred and Carmen Bauer had such an influence as my Methodist Youth Fellowship leader. The Schulze twins and their spouses always made me feel so welcome as a young man alone in the church, and I spent many services on the pew with the Lumpkins family. Too many others to mention have inspired me, loved me, prayed for me, and directed me. The last selection that I want to share with you comes from Joyce Durst. It's entitled Children's Christmas Program. I remember when the children were dressed as animals in the stable, when the wise men gave the baby Jesus a ham, amen. When the first angel tripped coming down the stairs, resulting in an angel pileup. And when Joseph developed stage fright, so Mary had to go to Bethlehem all by herself. What precious memory. As I was reading these, I was thinking about my Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Johnston. Mrs. Johnston was my first discipler of the faith besides my parents. Mrs. Johnston had red hair, and her face was always caked with makeup, heavy on the rouge, heavy on the mascara, heavy on the lipstick, and I could smell her makeup every Sunday. Sitting in her Sunday school classroom, we would sit on the front row. She always made us sit in a circle, and she would ask us to read the scripture. And though I can't remember any of the lessons that she taught, I do remember her faithfulness and her patience as she guided us to pronounce the words in scripture. I think of Mrs. Swinson. Mrs. Swinson was Baptist, a member of Central Baptist Church in San Antonio that is no longer there. It's no longer there. But Mrs. Swinson had a Rambler station wagon. Anybody remember Rambler? She would go down the neighborhood and pick up children before seatbelt laws, right? And she would pack us into the Rambler station wagon till we were packed like sardines and take us to Vacation Bible School at the Baptist Church. I remember her discipleship. I remember her faithfulness. I'm sure that you can remember some other people in your life, people that discipled you and nurtured you in the faith. Perhaps someone in Scripture. Perhaps someone in your family. Perhaps someone in this church. Alive or on another shore. Somebody that has discipled you to be the Christian, the faithful one that you are. Upon whose shoulders you stand. This morning, Lynn read for us a story about Moses. What happened is that Pharaoh ordered all the children to be thrown in the River Nile. And what's in the River Moses' mother could not do it. So she hid Moses until she couldn't hide him anymore. She built a basket, put her baby in there, and let him float down the Nile. And Moses was screaming and crying, of course. And Pharaoh's daughter went to bathe in the river Nile. And guess who was one of her attendants? Moses' sister. In the scripture passage, it says Moses' sister. We later know it was Miriam. But in the scripture passage of Exodus chapter 2, it doesn't say her name. There are people in our life that we will never know who they are that have prayed for us, that lifted us up, that helped us along